Next case is 06367, Vectren Energy Delivery of Ohio versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. My understanding is that while this is not a copy of representation, anything that's in the record, it's a summary, apparently your summary of some data, and that Appalese Council, Commission's Council agrees that it may be used, okay. And you will remove it at when the Appalese Council comes from, okay. Mr. Randazzo.
Good morning. My name is Sam Randazzo, and I'm here with Gretchen Hummel. We're here on behalf of Vectren Energy Delivery of Ohio, which I may sometimes refer to as VEDO, but most likely Vectren. Vectren is a public utility that is subject to extensive regulation by the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. I ask to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time there.
We are here today because of the cost-trapping consequence of a PUCO order issued in the proceeding below. The PUCO left Vectren unable to recover about $6.5 million in actual costs that Vectren incurred to provide a reliable gas supply to its customers during the period from November 1, 2000 through October 31, 2002. During this period, Vectren incurred the cost based upon a forecast methodology, forecasted customer demands, a supply plan, and a resource plan that was previously reviewed and approved by the PUCO with the support of the Office of Consumers Counsel, or OCC, and the Commission staff. Among other things, we asked the court to find that the Commission's action below violated Vectren's statutory rights as set forth in Section 4905.302. To recover the cost that it incurs to provide a reliable gas supply to its customers. As we explained in our initial brief in as many pages as the court will allow, gas utilities are subject to two layers of regulation when it comes to the subject of securing a reliable gas supply to serve its customers. As the court knows, gas utilities, like other utilities, have a statutory obligation to serve. It's not discretionary. One layer, the long-term forecast report, or LTFR process, requires Vectren to file on an annual basis an extensive LTFR or report in accordance with the Commission's rules that specify the content of that report. That report must include the forecast methodology, the forecasted demands, the assumptions underlying the forecast, the resource plan that the utility is going to use, and it must project those things out over a 10-year period. With each LTFR, Vectren pays the PUCO about $42,000 so that the PUCO can review the LTFR and discharge its mandatory statutory duties. The LTFR process, described in Section 4935.04, obligates the PUCO to determine if Vectren is forecasting its customers' demand based upon an appropriate methodology, the forecasted demand and resources to meet the demand are reasonable, and all assumptions made in the forecast are reasonable and adequately documented. The second layer of regulation comes in the form of a periodic evaluation of a utility's gas supply-related performance and is known as the Gas Cost Recovery, or GCR, audit process. The GCR audit process consists of a hindsight review of the performance of a utility during a specified period, otherwise known as the audit period. In this case, the period from November 1, 2000 through October 31st of 2002. This audit process has its roots in Section 4905.302. and in Chapter 4901:1-14 of the Ohio Administrative Code. It is in the course of this hindsight GCR audit process that the PUCO trapped the $6.5 million. Contrary to the claim of the PUCO at page one of the PUCO's merit brief, Vectren's planning, forecasting, and performance did not go awry. Vectren followed the plan that it had submitted to the PUCO and the PUCO approved on September the 25th of 2001. Also, the uncontested evidence shows that Vectren's rates during the audit period were comparable to the rates that were being charged by other gas utilities in the state of Ohio, and that Vectren's competitive solicitation process by which it procured its natural gas supply ensured competitively priced natural gas supplies. There are no indications of any bad performance in bottom line results that are reflected in the record below.
Council, the industry custom, I believe, is that on these long-term supply contracts, you not only negotiate a price, but you negotiate that you will take and pay for, whether you take it or not, a specific quantity of gas.
Yes, Your Honor. It is not only practice, it is evident in the record of this case.
And that's where you got into the problem.
Well, exactly. What a gas utility that prudently plans will do is plan to have an adequate amount of supply to deal with abnormal circumstances, which is why you have a reserve, which is why you buy more than you may actually need.
Your company didn't have a storage capacity to accept the gas that you weren't going to use.
The natural gas, that would be the case. There was some ability to use propane in extreme circumstances, but with regard to storage capacity, you were not in a situation where you can pull the gas in, which would cause you to incur cost, by the way, and then place it in a storage location someplace else. These contracts that I'll get to in a moment had specific lives associated with them. So you either use them or you don't use them, but there are costs associated with it either way. In the bigger picture contest that I've described so far, we asked the court to find that the PUCO went awry by bypassing the presumption of Vectren's prudence to which Vectren was entitled in accordance with the Commission's rules and case law, by bypassing the PUCO's prior approvals of the very plans that Vectren implemented, and by bypassing Vectren's repeated objections to an ambush that featured a retroactive change in the PUCO's findings regarding the demand that Vectren was obligated to respect during the GCR audit period.
Is this a res judicata argument?
Yes, Your Honor, we believe it is. We believe the adjudication that took place in the LTFR proceeding effectively disposed of any questions that might have been raised about the quality or the reasonableness of the forecast methodology and the demand that Vectren had to serve to meet its customers' requirements.
Are there other cases in which that doctrine has been employed for this kind of a situation?
Your Honor, I am not aware of any case that has come before this court on that subject, but it is clear, we believe, from the Commission's rules that that's the way it works. Also, during the cross-examination of the auditor, which I conducted, the auditor had previously testified in a proceeding involving East Ohio Gas, in which the auditor expressed the view that I've expressed here today, that questions regarding the level of demand that a utility must serve are questions that are resolved in the LTFR proceeding, not the GCR proceeding.
As you know, the Commission says that it didn't decide the issues in the LTFR proceeding, that it decided in the later proceeding. I'd like to hear your, obviously you responded to your brief, I'd like to hear your response here.
The order that was issued in the LTFR proceeding responded to a settlement that was submitted by the PUCO staff, the Office of Consumers Counsel, and Vectren. In that settlement, we urged the Commission to find that Vectren met the statutory requirements. The statutory requirements are mandatory upon the commission. This is not a case where you can argue about what the commission's obligation was in the context of the LTFR proceeding when there was a hearing. In section 493504, the commission has a specific obligation in the hearing, after the record is completed, to make a determination regarding the adequacy of the forecast methodology, the reasonableness of the demand, as well as the reasonableness of the assumptions that were made in the forecast methodology. Those are statutory obligations. In addition, the commission has amplified the responsibilities that it has by undertaking the rulemaking that is contemplated in Chapter 4935 and adding additional things that the commission takes a look at, including the reliability criteria that the utility is to use.
The statute does leave some discretion to the company, certainly does it not, to decide to make its projections on this 5% overage or the cushion that I call the cushion, but that's not required by statute or by any order, is it? Isn't that a judgment call on the company's part?
Your Honor, it is a judgment call initially on the part of the company with regard to what it does to make sure that it has enough gas available to reliably serve its customers. There's no question about that. But once the utility describes the way it is going about that and puts that in the LTFR, those are the things that the PUZO, by statute, is obligated to review and make a determination on with regard to the reasonableness. So Vectren did those things. Vectren filed the forecast. It contained the very demand that was criticized in the GCR proceeding over our objections. Vectren filed the long-term forecast that indicated that it was going to carry a reserve margin in addition to add to its reliability capabilities. PUCO said you shouldn't have a reserve margin in the GCR proceeding after previously reviewing and finding the forecast report reasonable. We think...
Excuse me for the interruption, but I thought that as I understood it, that the 5% was not in the 2000 long-range forecast, LTFR.
Your Honor, what was missing from the forecast in the document itself was a specification of the magnitude of the reserve margin. The fact that the company was using a reserve margin is not ambiguous. It's very clear in two sections of the long-term forecast report that was filed with the commission. With regard to the magnitude of the reserve margin, the evidence in the record is clear. There is a consensus on this point, both in terms of industry practice and the opinions offered by the auditor, as well as every other witness. An appropriate reserve margin ranges somewhere between 3% and 5%. Vectren used 5%. I would also note that the commission has precedent in this area. It has previously approved, in the case of an East Ohio Gas Company audit, a reserve margin that was 20%. So trying to reconcile the commission's decision in this case, we believe, is made difficult based upon the evidence. But we would also assert that based upon the principles of res judicata and collateral estoppel.
Well, the PUCO also says, though, that the contracts, WDS 1, 2, and 3, and the Loran, the provider company.
Reliance.
Were not before the PUCO in 2000. At least the WDS 1, well, I think all three of them, and as well as the contract, were not before it. So how is that res judicata if it was not before it?
Your Honor, we agree, and we said so in our reply brief, that the specific contracts were not before the commission. But that's not what the commission finds was imprudent. The commission finds that the demand forecast that we submitted in the LTFR in 2000 contained a level of demand that was excessive. And it made that determination based upon a criticism that was conducted in the GCR proceeding after it had rendered a judgment that the forecast methodology and the assumptions and the forecasted demand that we had in the long-term forecast was reasonable. We think that that's the problem.
Do you then Excuse me. Yes. Do you then maintain that the long-term forecast is binding on the commission and it cannot retreat from that?
The long-term forecast, once there is an adjudication on the question of the reasonableness of the forecast methodology, the commission is stuck, as we are, with that adjudication.
But the statute then contemplates that there be an audit to verify that.
Of the performance.
So it sort of bespeaks the idea that there's some finality to the forecast approval.
If I may, Your Honor, the reason why I believe that there is not any confusion or should not be regarding the finality is if you look at the Commission's GCR audit rules that are set forth in Section 4901:14-07 of the Ohio Administrative Code, you'll see that the audit is designed to determine whether or not the performance of the utility, measured on hindsight, is consistent with what the utility did, said it was going to do in the long-term forecast report.
Right.
It is not designed to create a de novo opportunity to criticize a long-term forecast long after the performance that the utility was required to exhibit has taken place.
So then, Council, is your contention would be that since the audit verified the performance was consistent with the LTFR, the only way a penalty or this type of rebate to the customers would be appropriate is if there had been an inconsistency and that inconsistency was based on a performance that was improvident or unreasonable.
That is absolutely correct. I would also say that what we have agreed to on numerous occasions before the Commission is that so long as the critique has a prospective implication, if the purpose of the criticism of the long-term forecast is designed to try and improve the forecasting method, and I've never met a forecaster yet who didn't believe that they could improve a forecasting model, but if that's the purpose, fine and good. Prospective changes can be recognized and can be discussed in the GCR audit process. It's the retroactive influence of the decision that was made by the Commission that left Vectren in the position of being accountable for a performance standard by which Vectren had no opportunity to conduct itself. And I see my time is up, and I'll end it there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Mendeza. Mr. Margard.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the Court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for purposes of intervening appellee, Ohio Consumers Council. The Public Utilities Commission found, as a matter of fact in this case, that Vectren had incurred excessive costs and imposed those costs on its customers, and it incurred those costs because of its company's management's poor performance. The Commission found, as a matter of fact, that the company had excessive costs because it contracted for far more capacity than it needed to serve its customers, and because it had its capacity and supply contracts managed by an affiliated company under an unbid contract on unfavorable terms. This is a gas cost recovery case. The Commission's responsibility in a gas cost recovery case is to protect consumers from company abuses, abuses such as the one that the Commission found in this case.
Even in the worst winter, I guess, the PUCO's position is that still these contracts were excessive.
If we had had a worst winter situation where the company needed those contracts, it might have been a different situation. What the Commission found in this case is that the company had adequate resources available to meet their projected demands. They already had the resources available, and they didn't make adequate use of the resources that they had. Even the company's own testimony indicated that there was plenty of capacity available, that capacity had become devaluated and was readily available on the secondary market. There simply was no need for the company to enter into these contracts.
Mr. Margard, if I understand Mr. Randazzo's argument to us, it is that on the long-term forecast report, the Commission found it to be reasonable and assented
to that forecast, and then in compliance with that assent, the gas was obtained and stored. And now the commission has this, I guess we say, change of heart on the part of the commission. Best stated case that Mr. Randazzo makes, and he said, therefore, it's unreasonable for the commission to revert and preclude us from recovering the costs that it told us we should be engaging in during the forecast period. How do you respond to that?
Well, that is essentially the company's argument. They're saying that the commission really shouldn't have been reviewing its decisions in this case. And that's precisely what the gas cost recovery proceeding is for the commission to be able to evaluate the company's decision-making, not from hindsight, as Mr. Randazzo suggests, but it is a retrospective, factual inquiry into what the company actually did, into what it's the cost implications of what it actually did. The General Assembly, when it adopted the forecasting statute, was very clear about what the company had to file and what the commission had to find. What the commission found in this case is that the parties had appropriately agreed that the company filing met the statutory requirements. The purpose of the forecasting statute is to gather and to share information, to ensure that the company has done a level of planning. The commission found that the company had made a plan. But the company's actual implementation of that plan is something entirely different, and is properly the subject for review in a gas cost recovery proceeding.
So, counsel, you're saying, based on the question that I left opposing counsel with, is that in verifying the performance, you found it to be inconsistent with the long-term recovery plan, or to deviate in such a way as to make this $6 million rebate necessary?
Well, Your Honor, one of the things that the commission's rules on conducting audits and gas cost recovery proceedings provides is that the auditor shall look to see whether the company's performance was consistent with forecasting. But the ultimate burden in a gas cost recovery proceeding is on the company. The ultimate burden is on the company to demonstrate that its rates are fair, just, and reasonable. The ultimate burden is on the company to demonstrate that its gas purchasing policies and practices promote minimal pricing consistent with providing an adequate supply of gas.
Okay,
and what
but
the commission found
just,
in.
Just so I understand, it's not that you're finding that the forecasting report was in error. You're finding that the company didn't perform based on the circumstances of the years we're looking at in such a way that would deviate permissibly from this long-term forecast.
That's probably a fair characterization. What the company did was to go far beyond what it projected it needed, many times more than it needed to be able to serve its customers' needs. Now, the company says that it did this in order to ensure a 5% reserve margin, a reserve margin that the commission had never been presented with prior to the gas cost recovery proceeding. It was incumbent upon the company to demonstrate that that 5% reserve margin was appropriate here. What the commission found is that using the company's forecasting methodology, that the company had already a fairly conservative forecast in place, that it didn't really need any additional capacity. Furthermore, by the company's own testimony, it had other resources available to it. It didn't need to enter into these particular contracts. That's where the commission made its determination in this case. The company had the burden to demonstrate that these were reasonable decisions. The commission determined that the company simply failed to meet its burden in this case.
Did the long-term forecast include the 5% or
no, Your Honor, it did not. There was
no reference to the
5%.
So is that the difference? Is that where we're getting the $6.5 million refund out of that singularly, or are there other attributes of unreasonableness as found by the commission?
Each of the contracts has its own attributes and is slightly different in terms of what the commission's determination was. The WDS-1 and the WDS-3 contracts were intended to secure a reserve margin for the company. The difficulty with the reference to a reserve margin in the long-term forecast plan is that it is simply that, a reference. What the company is essentially asking for here is a blank check, asking this court to endorse a blank check from its customers, allowing it to purchase virtually any quantity of gas on virtually any terms that it chooses without commission oversight. The commission's responsibility is to take a look at what the company actually did. The forecast mentions reserve margin. It also mentions having an adequate supply of gas. Having an adequate supply of gas, in one view, may be far in excess of what the commission determines the company actually needs. The commission, however, did not conduct that kind of de novo review. The commission, while it did direct that changes be made to the company's forecasting methodology on a prospective basis, as Mr. Randazzo noted, did note that the amount of the forecast, although conservative, was something that the company could adequately meet with the resources that it had. There's no second guessing of the demand that was in here. The commission did not find that the company's demand forecast was excessive, found that it was conservative, found that it was an adequate way of serving its customers. Consequently, the additional contracts that the company entered into constituted the excess. That's where the commission properly fulfilled its duty and its responsibility in this case. Significantly, the General Assembly, when it adopted the statutes in these cases, did not cross-refer to the proceedings. The forecasting statute makes no reference to gas cost recovery proceedings. The gas cost recovery statute makes no reference to forecasting cases. These are separate proceedings. They're separate proceedings on purpose, because the commission's responsibility is to review what the company actually did. An inquiry that this court has noted is necessarily retrospective in nature, necessarily factual in nature, and this court has historically deferred to the commission's factual determinations.
So are you saying, counsel, that the company is not insulated from performance failure just by getting an approval of its forecasting measures?
Precisely so, Your Honor. It likening it, if I can use a metaphor, to a teenager securing a driver's license. It has demonstrated that they know the rules of the road and know how to properly operate a vehicle, but all of us would want to make sure that that teen was held accountable for their actions on the roadway once they actually hit the pavement. That's the difference between these proceedings. The commission takes a look at the forecast case to ensure that the company has done planning. That's what the General Assembly required. The commission found that the company had an adequate plan. In the gas cost recovery proceeding, the commission's responsibility was to look at the actual actions taken by the company. What it found is that those actions were excess, and in some cases, excess on top of excess, far beyond what the company needed to be able to serve its customers.
Was there an element here? I sense there might be an element here that Vectren was trying to enhance its position with maybe DP&L or someone else by purchasing all this fuel that it didn't really need.
Your Honor, that's not entirely clear. What we know is that the company did have a contractual relationship with an affiliated company. That contractual relationship meant that the affiliated company credited back for the capacity not used and resold on the secondary market, credited back to the gas cost recovery customers. The credit that came back from ProLiance was significantly lower than DP&L had received under its asset management agreement. That certainly was one of the things that the commission looked at in realizing that that particular agreement did not favor consumers.
So, counsel, was there, just so I understand, the activity by Vectren was far in excess of competitors' percentage of overrun, say, on these gas purchases?
No, Your Honor, and that's an important distinction. The commission needs to look at what each company's individual actions are. Each individual company has its own burden and responsibility that it must sustain. So the comparisons to other companies really aren't relevant here. What Vectren needed to do was to demonstrate that it needed what it did, and it simply failed to do that. The commission did its job in this case. It conducted a proper gas cost recovery proceeding. It found that there was excess. It acted to protect consumers by disallowing that access. The commission's order here is lawful, supported by the factual record, and should be affirmed. Now I yield the remainder of my time to Mr. Cirio.
Thank you, Mr. Margard. Mr. Cirio.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. I'm here today on behalf of the Ohio Consumers Council and Vectren's residential gas customers, customers who are the victims of the unjust, unreasonable, and imprudent gas purchasing practices that were contrary to the statutory intent of Ohio Revised Code Section 4905.302 that resulted in the overcollection of approximately $6.3 million from customers. The company's appeal fails to meet the burden of proving that the commission's decision was against the manifest weight of evidence and showed willful disregard of duty, a standard that this court has long used and is spelled out in Canton Storage and Transfer Company versus PUCO. I will focus my comments today on support for the facts for the disallowance of the three winter delivery service contracts, which totaled $4.5 million. The commission concluded that two of the winter delivery service contracts were excess capacity because the company did not purchase them for basic capacity needs and took no gas under those contracts. Instead, they were intended to provide additional and costly reserve margin or cushion above and beyond the customer's reasonable needs. The commission concluded that prior to adding those contracts, the company's gas supply plan was already overly conservative because the company relied on a probability of occurrence of extreme cold and high winds that might occur once in 54 years. The commission said a planning probability of once in 20 years was more reasonable, and it was more reasonable because the company had location near several interstate pipelines, they had storage assets, they were located near supply basins, and because of their flexible propane facility that the independent auditor called one of the most reliable in the country. The company claimed a 5% reserve margin. Instead, the cumulative effect of the three contracts was that they had 15 to 21% reserve margin over the two-year period. The third contract constituted excess capacity and a business risk that that shareholders and not customers should bear. In late October 2000, just prior to the close of the transaction between Dayton and Vectren, Dayton sold off 1.5 million of its 3.5 million gallon propane reserve. Dayton made this sale despite the fact that it promised not to make any material changes to its propane storage facilities, and despite the fact that the propane was an integral part of the upcoming winter supply plan. Vectren knew this, yet Vectren closed the deal and did not address the lost propane in its transaction with Dayton. Instead, Vectren went out and purchased an additional contract for 26 times the volumes that were lost in the propane that was sold.
Is that the WDS-2 contract?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. Okay. The WDS-2 contract constituted 26 times the volumes of the 1.5 million gallons that were sold off. And that's what resulted in the excess capacity being anywhere from 15 to 21%. It's clear from the record that the three contracts constituted excess capacity and a business risk that should not be passed on to customers. Vectren has failed to meet the legal standard necessary to overturn the commission's ruling. The Consumers Council respects that the commission be affirmed in this decision and that customers be refunded the dollars they should be.
Thank you, Mr. Cirio.
Thank you.
Mr. Randazzo, you've used your time, which may take 30 seconds.
The commission changed the benchmark by which performance was to be evaluated. When you say there's excess capacity, that is a relative conclusion. It's relative to what? We say the measurement must be against the long-term forecast specification of capacity that's required to serve the customers. On that score, the commission agrees that what we did was understandable, and the commission says so in its order. It says at page 32, of the order that based upon the demand level and reserve margins that Vectren had in its long-term forecast report, the capacity associated with the WDS-1 contract would be understandable. It became imprudent as a result of commission using a different benchmark, a newly created benchmark that arose only in the GCR audit proceeding. Let me deal with the excess capacity claim. Again,
Very quickly.
Yes. At page 17 of OCC's brief in this proceeding, OCC confirms the fact that we had with the WDS 1 and 3 contracts very close to a 5% reserve margin. With the addition of the WDS 2 contracts, which we had contract, which we had no discretion about the size of that contract. We tried to get a smaller one, as the record demonstrates. Only a larger one was available in the marketplace. All of that is confirmed. But even with the WDS-2, for the one winner, we had a 15.4% reserve margin. I urge the court to put Vectren back in the position of being able to break even on its gas supply costs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Randazzo. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.